To Parma Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We are glad you are here. In order to help us ensure the health and safety of everyone in attendance today, COVID restrictions will be added to our service as the situation gets worse. We'll give you further instructions. But for now, please wear a mask and social distancing unless you are with your family members or you rode in the car with certain people. You can sit together. Communion will still be in our new form using the cups provided. And we want to thank you for worshiping with us today. Amen?
Amen.
Is that right? All right, so then we have our scripture reading, which is John 14, 5 through 8. I'm going to stand for the reading of the scripture. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" This is from the NIV version. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." God is at a reading to his word. You may be seated. The name of our sermon today is Help Me Find Directions to My Father's House. Directions to My Father's House. So when I retired from Sherwin-Williams, I started working in the community a lot, in my community. And so the first thing that I did was set up a business writing class at the library. And that business writing class, we had to teach each individual how to sell their business. And so each person had to have what is called an elevator pitch, right? And that pitch was required for you to sell your vision to a person or persons in 30 seconds. You had to be able to spew it out, your business plan, and it would take a ride from maybe on an elevator from the first floor to, let's say, the 15th floor. And during that time, you should be able to tell the person in the elevator that wanted to invest in your business or whomever you were speaking to, your goal, and convince them that it was worth their while to buy into your dream. Today, we are here to convince you to buy into the vision of Jesus Christ. That's what the church does. Sunday school, Bible study, all of those things are required things to help us to be able to convince others to come and be with us in our services, to just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. They don't have to come here, but just the fact that you're witnessing to them and inviting them to come. So, I have 3 points, and then I'll be done. But I want to tell you about George Barnes. who tells us that the vision for ministry is a reflection of what God wants to accomplish through you to build his kingdom. It only happens through you. We heard that in Sunday school this morning. If we can have vision after vision after vision, but if we have no people to work the vision, it will perish. You understand that, right?
Right.
Amen? So Webster's Dictionary just says it is a mental image produced by imagination. And John Maxwell tells us, number one, the vision is the ability to see it. And number two, an awareness to faith, the faith to believe it. And number three, attitude, the courage to do it. You have to have the action. Just because you have it in your mouth, you have a lot of hallelujah and no do-a-luya. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Amen? Habakkuk 2:2 says, without the vision, write the vision and make it plain. And the person that hears the vision will run with it. Why? Because we don't want to perish in our former work to be in vain. We don't want our businesses or our churches to be in vain. We don't want, number one, our church to be in. We don't want you coming here every Sunday, sitting in our services. We don't want it to be in vain. We want you to leave here with something that you'll be able to tell somebody else about Jesus. So my point number one is Jesus is the way. A few years ago, we came out with a GPS system, right? And the GPS system, all you had to do was put an address, and within seconds, your destination was mapped out for you. In some cases, there are situations and circumstances on the road that makes the GPS system say, recalculating. Recalculating. You may make a turn too soon. You may run into a construction zone, or you might have to take an alternate route. And the lady in the little box will say what? Recalculating. That ever happened to you?
Yeah.
Recalculating. It is different with Jesus being the way, though. God has a course we have to take. And the lady in the little box, or the lady which we will call the Holy Spirit, will be on the inside talking to you when you go the wrong way and say that you need to recalculate. Anybody ever heard the Holy Spirit say that to you? Say, you're going the wrong way. Teresa, you're going the wrong way. Recalculate. Teresa, you need to turn here. Why didn't you turn here? Sometimes you would think they would talk like that. You should have turned back there. There's construction ahead. Don't go that way. But they wait until you get there. And it says what? Recalculate. There are many who have punched in the address and are still trying to find the way to a godly life. Because, like we said in Sunday school this morning, we get distracted and we forget our way. They are listening to the GPS system but have no idea which way to go. They're reading their Bible, they're coming to Sunday school, they're coming to church every Sunday, and they leave here not knowing which way to go. Why? Because they haven't really gripped it in their mind. Or maybe it's something distracting them. Maybe they've gone the wrong, maybe they've taken the wrong turn. And so, the little Holy Spirit in their ear is saying, you need to go to Bible study. You need to go to Sunday school. You need to be at church this morning. You might hear something that might make you turn and go the right way. Many have simply decided to drive without the GPS system, hoping they will stumble upon the way. Some have asked for directions. You even stop, roll your window down, even with the GPS system, and ask somebody, which way is whatever destination you're looking for? In this case, the destination is heaven. We're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to see Jesus. And the scripture says that we have to work out our soul salvation. Some just give up and they stop searching altogether. They just get tired of looking, or they just get tired of messing up. Jesus is the way, though. He's the way to forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the way to be free from any kind of addiction. And Jesus is the way, and he's the only way. Even in addictions, even in things that we find ourselves into, we need to learn how to call on the name of Jesus and say, listen, I need some directions. Can you show me which way to go? And when you come here, you get that direction from your pastor. You should get it from your elders. You could get it from all of us who already know the way and have decided there is no other way. Point number two, Jesus is the truth. The scripture says in John 8:32 that when we hear the truth will make us free. We have to, first thing that we have to do though is expose ourselves to the truth. The truth for us is the written word of God. We can read all the self-help books we want to read. We can listen to Dr. Phil. We can listen to Oprah for the aha moments. But the true aha moment is the revelation that we receive through God's written word and preached word. The light of the word of truth is what illuminates our way. And for us, the scripture, combined with the Holy Spirit, is our light that shows us the way. 2 Samuel 7:28 said, "The sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant." What is the promise of the good thing? That he will be with you even until the ends of the world. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he never leaves you. We leave him. We're the responsible person that has to stay in touch with him every day, all day, and stay committed. Then my third point is, Jesus is the life. Our lives depend on Jesus Christ. Every day, all day, he is the way. John 10:10 says, "I come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly." How many want richness and depth into your life? How many of you want more of the richness of Jesus Christ? He is the way to experience life in its fullest and clearest, to know God and to know God and the joy in its fullness. We are taught that Jesus was tempted in this life, and those temptations are the same limitations and temptations that we experience every day. All of us have something that we experience that we want to ask God for forgiveness. So maybe we probably do all day. I know sometimes I say, "Forgive me, Lord. Said the wrong thing. Oh, forgive me, Lord." But that's all we have to do. It's really not saying that you just keep doing the wrong thing, but when you realize that you're doing it, stop and ask God to forgive you. He knows how low we can go before we break. He knows because he went to the limit for us when he died on the cross for our sins. He knows that sometimes we get off track. Our GPS system has to say recalculate. I want to end with this illustration. Can I read it to you? There were two little children who rode a school bus to school every day in the big city. They lived next door to a big church in a crowded neighborhood. The mother worried that one day something might go wrong and they might get lost. So she wrote down their address and directions and gave it to each child with the instructions, if you get lost, show this to an adult. And after several weeks, the unthinkable happened. Somehow, the children were put off the bus in the wrong neighborhood. Has that ever happened to you? Things were worse when they realized that they did not have the slip of paper with their address and directions on it that the mom had written down for them. As the little boy began to cry, the little girl got a sudden burst of inspiration. She grabbed her little brother by the hand and bravely walked several miles through city streets, turning corners and deliberateness. When she finally made it home, her mother was nearly out of her mind. "How did you find your way back?" she asked. The little girl said, "We live next to this big church with that great big cross on the top. I just walked toward the cross and made it home." Sometimes we get lost and we go and we go and we try to find our way back. All the things of the world seem to give us the wrong direction. Sometimes we forget the directions. But as this story illustrates, we should keep our eyes on the cross. That is what this sermon is all about. Keeping our eye on Jesus. It is the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. One songwriter writes, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me." When you are lost in the world, keep your eyes on the cross. When the trouble comes your way, keep your eyes on the cross. When you don't know which way to go, keep your eyes on the cross. When you can't tell your left from your right and you get confused about what's going on in your life, just keep your eyes on the cross. That's why David declared, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth." We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on the cross. And most of all, we have to learn how to follow directions. This is the word of God for the people of God. Blessed be to God.